Again, thank you for being here tonight. We are in the book of Colossians. In the book of Colossians, I got some, what they call, it's like tape for pages, like Bible pages and stuff. I got some because Philippians 4, right here, I had a big chunk, like a big rip. And so, I don't know about you, but I have multiple Bible ribbons, so I keep one here, so that when we turn places, I can just go back to Philippians real quick, but it was always, or Colossians real quick, but it was always gingerly kind of go back, because I knew if I caught it, I'd just rip that out. So now I can just, with gusto, I can just flip right to where I'm trying to go. Colossians chapter 1, and the book, Dr. Uckman used to say Das Buch, because he's German for some reason. And it didn't give you any more power when you talked about the Bible if you talked about it in German. This is the book, and it's such a blessing. And just trying to get through way back when we were getting ready for Monday night class, I was trying to just do some study, and I was trying to get my mind in gear for King James Bible Defense, and that means, for me at least, I had to kind of dig into some of the bigger stuff and some of the heavier type stuff. So I read a couple books, manuscript evidence type books and things, and I got into one, and I'm still reading it. And so I'm still like, because I want to finish that book and be done with that book. I can start a lot of books, but I need to get through this book. It's been on my desk for a while. Maybe Brother Walt, when he's been cleaning, maybe he's picked it up and read some extra, if you've read some extra pages for me, just move the bookmark, okay? I probably won't even know. I'll just go back to it and just hop in there. Been trying to knock out some more chapters and get some things done, with that. So continuing to read, but really just to understand what God has given us in His Word, and to know that we can just set it down wherever we are, and we can open it up, and we can just start to read it, and know that it's the words of God that He has for us. That is something special that we have, and praise the Lord for it. Colossians chapter 1. Is where we are. Let's start in verse number 9. We're kind of through this, we're in this section here of this prayer that Paul has for the church, for the Colossian people. So verse number 9 says, "For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." So this prayer that he has for the church here, he goes through and he talks about this desire that they would be filled with the knowledge of His will. We talked about that. We can know the will of God. we can know what His general will is, and we can know what His specific will is. Now, what are those terms? Well, those are preacher terms, all right? Sometimes preachers try to break things down to something that we can understand and grasp a little easier, right? The general will of God is something that we would open up the Scriptures, and like some of the verses that I've given you, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. To abstain from fornication, that is the will of God, being able to handle our bodies in sanctification. And we can know what the general will of God is in our lives. What is that will? That's the same will for you as it is for me, to read His Word and to pray and to come to church and to love one another and to give thanks. And a general will that we can open up the Word of God and everybody can understand God would want and desire me to do these things. But then the specific will of God is going to be very unique for you and maybe and your family or you, your walk with the Lord. Your walk with the Lord can be different from your husband's, which can be different, and your walk with the Lord can be different from your wife's walk with the Lord and what he wants of you and the family. It can be very specific for your will of God that God has for you. And so the general will of God, well, that's what I do. I try to stand up here and preach to you the general will of God and some specific will maybe if he has called you unto those things. But to open up that spectrum and say, hey, there's some things we should all be on board. But then there's other things that are very unique to each of us. And so Paul says here in general that you be filled with the knowledge of his will. And he'll never give you a specific will until you're doing the general will. I phrased that differently before, saying if you're not doing today what God tells you to do today, then he'll just keep reminding you what you're supposed to be doing every day before he moves on to the next thing. Doing the general will of God is what leads him to give you, through his word, through the preaching, gives you his specific will in his life. So I turned my will over to the Lord when I was 17 years old, the summer after I graduated at a camp, and I said, okay, Lord, I'm pretty foolish. I want what you want for my life. And then I had to learn how to establish the general will of the Lord into my life. I had to learn how to start having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because although I had some facts rattling around up in here about the Bible from being raised in a Christian home and having a dad as my pastor and being there for all the services, yeah, I had to be there. Sitting there under his lessons and having my mother be my Sunday school teacher and my junior church teacher, I had to learn all the verses. I couldn't say, well, I forgot. I couldn't say my parents didn't help me. I had none of those. So what I had some stuff rolling around up in here. But the stuff rolling around up in here doesn't make you as spiritual as you think. Because we think, well, I know some stuff about the Bible. So that must mean that I'm, well, maybe a poor Christian, possibly. Because it's the application of what God is telling us to do in our lives. It's a relationship with him that draws us closer to the Lord. It's not the facts that we memorize. If we go into this like a textbook and we just start to know how to put pieces together and put some things together that go together, we can learn a bunch of things, but it doesn't mean that our walk with the Lord is anything. So once I gave my will over to the Lord, then I had to learn what that actually meant to have a relationship with the Lord and walk with the Lord, because I had pushed that aside for a number of years. I had said, I'll do what I need to do so that I can do what I want to do as a child. I need to do this in order for my parents to allow me to have freedom to do this other thing. So I'll do this in order to be able to do this. And the Lord was just, whatever. He's here. I was living in all the blessings of the Lord, didn't even know it, taking all those for granted, and just saying, I'm just going to do what I want to do. To a limit. That limit was my parents, and that limit was also the fear of the Lord, and thank God for that. Even when you don't really care about the things of the Lord, every once in a while you go, that seems like a big jump though, and if the Lord really wants to smack me around, I don't want to deal with that. So then I had to learn how to walk with the Lord. And what happens? You learn how to walk with the Lord, and then he starts to say, okay, well, I want this for you. I want you to do this thing. And that thing for me was to go to Bible school. That was the next big thing. After I got right with the Lord, I went to college for 2 years, and then I said, okay, I'm ready to go to another school to continue my education. And the Lord said, what about going to Bible school? That was specific to me. That wasn't specific to some of my friends. That wasn't specific to other Christians that I knew. That was specific to me. And the Lord said, okay, I want you to go to Bible school. And then you always have your college credits there. You can always go back to school. And the Lord tricked me. I won't say he lied to me. He did not lie to me. I still somewhere in some registry of the world, I have college credits somewhere that I might be able to access. I don't know. Back then, I'd probably call the school I went to, and they'd probably have to go to like paper files, right, and try to dig through and find me. But the Lord wasn't kidding. I do still have those credits. I just never used them again. And so that was a very specific will for me. And then when I got to school and started to go to school and try to do what the Lord wanted me to do while I was obeying him, the Lord brought this beautiful woman past me. That's my wife. Live stream is my wife. It's over here. All right. Mrs. Sherry, Aaron Sherry is right there. And so this beautiful woman walks by, and I said, ah, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning me. I had to try long and hard to convince her that it was the Lord's will for her life. But that was a specific will for me. None of the rest of my classmates, just me. And so what happens, then we get married, and I graduate school, and then the Lord calls us together. Calls us to go to New York. That was a very specific will that he had for us to go to a specific church in a specific ministry and to do those things. But I was just talking about this as far as now being called here to the pastorate. This isn't just a me thing. This isn't just a Mike Sherry specific will. This involves my children. This involves my wife. In the ministry and those things. So it became a specific will for us in following the Lord's will. But what were we trying to do in the meantime? Not perfectly, but we were following what God wanted us to do and just trying to be faithful with whatever he wanted us to do. And so for me and for my wife and for certain individuals, you've seen that happen. Those of you that have spent some time here, you've seen that happen with the Russells. The Russells come into this church and they get saved, and they're trying to, okay, now they're just trying to live as a Christian, right? And just trying to figure it out and sitting where you're sitting. Because see, you don't, as of right now, you don't have the testimony that I have. But they were sitting with you like I sat for many years and just tried to live for the Lord. And then the Lord started to deal with them and deal with them and deal with them about a very specific thing, the call to missions, and about where to go, very specifically where to go. That was a specific will for them, not for me. I'm here speaking English, all right? Sometimes poorly, but I'm here trying, all right? I'm doing it. They were called to go to Mexico, and God called them to do that and say, oh, well, those are my only options? No, those are not your only options. I'm giving you extreme examples of someone that's easy to see the specific will of God for them to do and do certain things. But for you, the specific will is what God wants you to do, where he's called you to be, and who he has you around, and he has something for you to do. That'll be very unique for you. Paul says here, to be filled with the knowledge of his will. And you should be seeking that knowledge out and understanding that you can know what that is. And then he says, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. It's the knowledge of his will, but having wisdom that comes from God. And the Bible says, spiritual understanding. That's not just us saying, well, I feel like, or I think this would be nice. Run all those thoughts by him so that you can have spiritual understanding in your life. And so he talks about wisdom and spiritual understanding. Verse number 10, that ye might. We're to know his will, and we're to have wisdom and spiritual understanding that ye might walk. that you might walk. We're supposed to then do something for the Lord. We're supposed to be active in our Christianity. We're supposed to take what God has given us and the will for God in our lives and the specific will that God has for us in individual cases, and then we are to walk in that. We are to do something about that. We are to move in our Christian life and not just sit around and wait for everything to come to us. We're supposed to walk, and we're supposed to walk worthy of the Lord. That's what the Bible says. Walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. And that's where we are tonight, unto all pleasing. And I mentioned it kind of closing down Thursday, but all pleasing who? It's pleasing the Lord. Pleasing the Lord is what we are supposed to do. 1 Thessalonians 4, 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. So Paul, talking to those of Thessalonica and telling them and exhorting them by the Lord, he says, you've received of us how ye ought to walk. All right, he says, you've heard from us. You've heard preaching from us. You've received this letter, and this letter tells you some things about it. How ye ought to walk in the Lord. There's a certain way that we should be walking in the Lord. We should be walking in the Spirit and not in the flesh. It doesn't mean that we can't do fun things. Right? I think some people think, well, if I just pray about everything, the Lord is never going to let me do anything fun. No, that's not it. It doesn't mean that you can't play a game or that you can't do something. You can't go for a walk. Well, if I go for a walk and when the sun's out, I guess I'm not praying. The Lord has an allowance for us to live our lives, okay? Some people think, well, if I just surrender to the Lord's will, then he's just going to call me to be a missionary in the worst place ever. Just some crazy, dangerous, worst place in the world. I don't want to do that. No, and it's not. That's not how the Lord does it. That's not what the Lord does. The Lord isn't sitting up in heaven going, can't wait for them to surrender. Oh, I got something terrible for them. No, that's not what he does. Oh, if a young person surrenders to my will, they're never going to have a good job. They're just going to be poor for the rest of their lives. No, that's not what the Lord's looking out. Now, some people might do better than others. All right, but the Lord knows that too. The Lord's got it all figured out. There's no better life than living in the will of God. God has a better life planned for you than you could ever plan for yourself. Ever. You couldn't write it up and figure it out and take some quiz about your life and have some wish list. You could do all of those things. You could make all the lists in the world. And then if God said, do you want my will or do you want your will? Go with his every single time. Because it's going to be way better than what you have written down. Yeah, but I have written down lots of money. And I have written down all the comforts of the world. Throw it all out. Throw it all out. And just say, Lord, what do you want? I just want to do what you want to do. I want to follow you in my life. And I want to live for you in my life. And let him take care of all the other things. He says, ye have received of us how ye ought to walk, and look what he says, and to please God. You've heard from us, he says, how you should please the Lord. And that's what we're attempting to do, is to please God. He says, so ye would abound more and more, so that ye would walk and please God more and more than you're doing right now, to continue to walk and continue to please the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse number 4. 1 Thessalonians 2, 4. He says, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak. not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. He says, we were allowed to be put in trust with the gospel. Even so we speak. I've thought about that verse several times. Does God trust you with the gospel? There's a sermon there somewhere. I don't have one on it yet. But if you remember, someday you hear it and go, I think I've heard this before. It was probably me saying this. There's a good message there. Does God trust us with the gospel? He said, we please not as men, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. Paul says, we're trying to please the Lord. You're going to please very few men or women by serving the Lord. You're going to please very few. Even the ones that also say they're trying to serve the Lord, you're going to not please all of them either when you're trying to serve the Lord. But we're not trying to serve men, we're trying to please God. 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2. Verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. That's the Lord. He's chosen you to be a soldier. And you just can't get around it in the Bible. And maybe a lot of the modern churches treat it like the world treats the modern military, or the idea of a servant. The idea of a servant is so frowned upon, you can't even say the word. Everybody has to be equal. But when you speak as someone in authority at the job, you have to speak in a collective and say, we really need to get this accomplished. And I did the same thing. Why? Because people get their feelings hurt when you say, I need to get this done, and you have to do the job. I have a position where someone's going to call me if the job's not done, and I need you, I'm actually paying you, to go out there and do the job I'm paying you to do. People get all weird by that. They get all, oh, well, does that mean you're more important than me? Well, no, we all have our part to play, but I just happen to play a part that gets to tell you what to do. People don't like that on the job. People get all weird about that, right? And I don't understand why that is. I don't get it. The only time that I didn't like a boss that I've ever had was when that boss always wanted to come around and tell me and let me know they were my boss. I told a guy one time, listen, I understand. You're the boss, and I am not the boss. So if we both know this, can we just get past this, all this stuff? I mean, it didn't put me in like great favor, but what was I trying to accomplish? I was trying to accomplish, listen, I know that you are over me in the company, and I am under you. So if I can be okay with you telling me what to do, then can you be okay with me doing what you tell me? You know, can we just come to an agreement here? But what do you have to say? No, well, we have a job to do, and we have to get everything done. You know, you put the kid gloves on so you can handle everyone like children. But that's the world we live in. And so when a preacher gets up and says, hey, we're called to be servants. Oh, I don't like being a servant. Yeah, well, sorry. What I'm trying to say is, he's the boss. Can we just know he's the boss? Can we just know that he's calling the shots and then get over ourselves? Can we just figure it out? It's like he's called us to be servants and he's called us to be soldiers. You know what? Now, I've never been a soldier. And my dad never made a big deal out of being in the Navy. All right? But I've learned one thing about soldiers, that even if they don't like anything they're being told, they understand there's a chain of command. Soldiers understand that. They don't have to like the person. They don't have to any of that, but they understand there's a chain of command, and it's best for me to follow this chain of command and do what I'm told to do. And one of the parts of being a soldier, and there's many, but one of the parts of being a soldier is understanding, well, he's calling the shots. I mean, he's literally called the captain of our salvation. I mean, the Bible can't get any more clear than that, right? He is the captain of our salvation. And you and I, we're just way, way down on the ranks. And he's calling the shots. And so what do we need to do? We need to be soldiers for the Lord. When he says this is what should be done, we should say, yes, sir. But people don't like that. People don't like the idea of being told what to do. But as Christians, we should understand it. As Christians, we should be able to take our relationship with the Lord, our servanthood to God, and him being the one calling the shots and us just being soldiers to carry that out. We should take that to the workplace, and we should be the best workers at the workplace. If young people are called to go into the military, a Christian young man should make the best person in the military there is. Why? Because we should already have an understanding between us and the Lord. And all this is, parents, we're just helping reinforce this whole thing. Parents, we're to make our children obey. We are the ones in charge, not the children. We are the ones in charge as parents. What are we doing? We're establishing an earthly relationship that we hope that those children have with a heavenly father, a heavenly relationship. And also to succeed in this world with the understanding there's going to be people telling you what to do your entire life. So let's just get used to it and let's just get on with it. But all these things are spiritual things. And he says that we may please him who hath chosen us to be a soldier. That's what we're supposed to do. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2, verse number 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. This is how we are to live. We are to live knowing this, to live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Soberly, you can basically take any version of that and you're to live it. I know we think we use the term sober now to mean not drunk, which is fine. Don't be drunk. But soberly also can be a sober attitude. We're to be sober and to be vigilant because we have an adversary, the devil, that's seeking to devour us, Peter. Right? And so we're to understand that there's times to have good times and to laugh and to joke around, but there's times where we need to be serious about our walk with the Lord and pleasing the Lord, living soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's what we're to do, and that's to please the Lord. That's to please the Lord. If you try to please somebody else in this life, you won't serve God very long. Because you won't do it. There's not enough reward in getting the praise of man to walk soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. I can't pat you on the back enough to where you can say, well, the preacher is at least glad with my efforts. I want to be able to pat you on the back sometimes. I want to be able to say thank you for serving the Lord and thank you for being faithful. I want to do that. Because it's worthy of it. But I'm not going to sometimes. And I'm going to forget at other times. And other people are going to point out your flaws more than your successes for the Lord. And so if you're just trying to please the people in this room or somebody else because you're walking as a Christian, you'll eventually give up on that. Because you can't please people all the time. And it's not worth it. If you try to please yourself, well, that's never going to be successful. Well, look at how successful I am at being a Christian. Man, I'm I'm so proud of my humility in the Lord right now. But the flesh is never satisfied. So boy, that'll wear off real quick. That'll wear off real quick. We can't please ourselves. We can't please others all the time. We have to serve God to please Him. That's the only thing that's going to last. That's the only thing that can keep people in their seats for year after year after year after year after year after year, is trying to please the Lord. That's what keeps us changing for the better and not staying in the same place year after year after year after year and just being a stagnant Christian, is we want to please the Lord. And with that comes learning how to please Him with our lives and learning what we can do better and how we can grow and how we can get rid of some of us and be more like Him. And that comes from pleasing Him, serving Him, and pleasing Him. And the Bible says, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. Being fruitful in every good... Now, we talked about that being fruitful. We talked about that back in verse number 6 when we talked about the gospel bringing forth fruit, as it doth also in you, Colossians 1. So we've talked about this fruit, but the Lord expects fruit from us. He's looking for fruit from us. And if a Christian goes a long time without being fruitful, you start to find that the Holy Spirit is quieter and quieter and quieter and quieter in our lives. Why? Because we just grieve the Holy Spirit. We refuse to bear fruit. We stop listening to what He desires in our lives. And it goes on and on and on. And what happens? The Lord Jesus Christ walks by the fig tree. And what's He see? He sees it's bearing no fruit. No fruit. And He curses it. He curses the fig tree. Why? Because it had no fruit. I don't want to be that type of Christian. I want to bear some fruit. There's so many ways to bear fruit. There's just so many different ways to bear fruit for the Lord that we don't have to be caught up in like one singular, well, I'm not bearing fruit in that way. Well, bear some fruit for the Lord. Do something for the Lord. And bear some fruit unto Him. Because Paul says that we should be fruitful in every good work. In every good work. And that's His work. It's a good work that we're to be following after good works. We're to be striving for good works in our life. And I know we preach pretty hard on salvation. It's not of works, right? And we can go pretty hard on the works thing and say it's not about the works and it's not this and it's not about that. And it's about the inside, right? We need to have the inside clean because the outside we can look clean. And God was all over, Jesus Christ was all over the Pharisees for trying to look good on the outside, but the inside was rotten. So we got to pay attention and we got to turn our heart towards God. All true things. But that is not excluding being fruitful in every good work. Right? We can't get in, right? There's ditches on both sides of the road, right? You've heard that saying before. We can't be like, oh, well, it's all works, and all we're worried about is works and works and more works, and we end up in a ditch. But then we say, oh, it's not works. It has nothing to do with works. I don't even care about any work. I'm just going to serve the Lord, and if my heart's right, then I don't care what anyone else thinks. And then we're in the ditch. And no, it's not all works, but it's not no works. It's to be fruitful in every good work. It's to be fruitful. And what are we fruitful in? Good works. Fruitful in good works. And so that's what the Lord wants us to do, is to be fruitful in that way. He says, be fruitful in every good work and increase in the knowledge of God. Increase in the knowledge of God. We're not doing it. We're not doing it. It's 7:42. We're not going to get into it because the very first reference I run, I'm just going to start talking. I mean, it's called preaching, but really I'm talking. And so we're going to pull the reins back a little bit and we're going to stop right there. Let's turn to one reference, not that reference, a different one. John 1. John 1. We'll just touch on it for a moment here. John 1. Verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. If we're to increase in the knowledge of God, we're going to have to know something about His Word. We have to know the incarnate Word, that's Jesus Christ. We have to know Him in salvation. Outside of that, we know very little about God, because God doesn't reveal Himself except through salvation and being a son and understanding about God. And the only way that we can get to know more about God is through the written Word, through the Bible that we have. You can talk to Christians, and I hope you do. And if there's some Christians you know, and you try to have some fellowship and encourage some other Christians, but it doesn't take very long when you start to hear other Christians start saying crazy stuff that you're like, you don't know what. I mean, Christians can say some things about the Lord, and they're talking in the most sincerity, as if they have like any common sense about God. And I know that kind of comes across being sarcastic, but you can have some Christians that are, maybe they're just parroting somebody else or saying something else, but you hear them say something and you're like, you instantly know, like, one, they're probably not in a Bible-believing church. They're probably not in their Bible reading it. Why? Because that's not the God of the Bible, right? And the God of the Bible is alarming to most Christians that don't read their Bible. Because they have God made up to be something completely different. They have a God made up in their heads and their minds that most people accept. And yet the God of the Bible is a God that is very specific in very many ways. And you start talking about, or maybe it's been this way, maybe it hasn't been them talking, but it's you talking about God or about something, and they're looking at you like, like in total horror, like, what are you talking about? And you could be talking about salvation. You can be talking about the fact that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. And people can be like blown away because their God, I mean, they couldn't reject the good people they know. God could never do that. And we have to know and answer to the God of the Bible. Because if you and I start to live trying to please a God that we make up in our minds, then we're going to be so far. Because you know what happens? When we start feeling pretty good about ourselves, I mean, kind of like in a prideful way, it's because we've diminished what God thinks of sin to where we feel pretty comfortable. We feel pretty comfortable with what we allow in our lives. Well, I don't need the preacher to tell me how to please God. I know how to please the Lord, and I'm pleasing Him. And all of a sudden, we've put such a high estimation on our own opinion of God and such a low estimation of God's Word and what He actually says, that when the preacher says something, we get like, wow, what? How could that possibly be? Not even understanding that if we're not living according, if we're not at least open to the God of the Bible during the preaching, and we've just closed off our minds to this is how God is, and God, He is pleased with me, then we've stunted our growth, we've refused to go on, we've refused to learn anything else, and we're in trouble. we're in trouble, because the Lord has so much more, and His opinion is so, He has something to say about everything. And we think He only has something to say about the things that we feel comfortable in changing in our lives. He couldn't possibly have anything to say about anything else. And boy, that when we start to try to please the Lord, we realize that we start to find out things that displease Him that we never even thought could possibly displease the Lord. We start to find out that God desires of us things that we wouldn't even have put on the list with our greatest intentions. And say, well, that sounds miserable. Oh, pleasing Him is never miserable. I mean, pleasing Him in our lives gives us the most purpose we can have in this life. It can give us the most fulfillment and the most joy we can have in this life. Say, yeah, but not the joy I want. That's because it's the wrong joy. And like I said, God is not a God that's up there saying, oh boy, I can't wait to rip that out of their lives. And the Lord's just waiting to take the Band-Aid and whoosh, you know. No, that's not the God we serve. But in order to please Him, you know, if we're striving to please Him in our lives, we realize this thing, I can grow and grow and grow and grow and grow until I die and get to heaven and be like, phew, the Lord is merciful. I had so much baggage still in our lives. And man, pleasing the Lord is a great thing. And we need to please the Lord. We need to be fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God. How do we do that? Through His Word. Reading His Word. Listening to His Word. The preaching of His Word. Saying, I don't know what this guy is going to preach on this time. But just say, Lord, whatever You have for me, I want it. Whatever You have for me, I want what You have for me. If you said that before every message I preached, you'd be amazing how good of a preacher I am. Say, that sounds arrogant. No. I say it tongue in cheek, right? The things that I say, by the time I say them from my lips and they go through the sound system and they get into your ears, the Holy Spirit of God takes that thing and goes, whoosh, and moves it around, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, wow. The Lord, that preacher knows exactly, how's He know that so much about me? Oh, it's not me. It's a spiritual thing that God does. And that's what I mean by, wow, I really got hit by that. Somebody says, hey, you know, when you were preaching this message on this thing, and I'm like, I don't remember preaching on that thing. I could forget quite easily. But then I'm thinking, I know I haven't preached on that in a while. I know I have specifically not said anything about that on purpose. And someone's like, oh man, you were talking about that, and that was a blessing or whatever. And it's like, nope. And I sit back and I think, oh, that was the Lord. That was the Lord. Or I said like one, whatever the topic of the message was, and then I said one little thing. And if they were to give the message a title, it was that one little thing, because they didn't remember the other like 98% of anything that I said, which is okay. I understand that. I get it. I mean, I'd like it to be maybe 10% maybe, but whatever, whatever the Lord has. And then I start to think to myself, oh yeah, that God did that. God did that for them, and they remembered that one thing. And they happened to be giving me credit, not knowing that that's not at all what I was preaching on. But the Lord was faithful to try to grow them and to learn what God had for them. And what do we need? The knowledge of God is going to come from this. It's going to come from His perfect word. And we get in there and we read it and we see what God has for us. And He just feeds us and right where we are in our life, and He just comes down to us and says, well, this little thing. Like, oh, Lord, it just seems like such a small little thing. He's like, yeah, but I want that too. It's like, ah, oh, okay, that's going to be a hard one, Lord. That's the one thing I was kind of holding on to. And the Lord says, no, I want that. And he just continues to speak to us and continues to draw us closer to him and continues to put us through the fire so the dross can come to the top. Like a furnace of silver tried in a furnace of earth. And that dross comes to the top and he can pull that away. And then we say, oh, finally. And then the Lord comes by and says, ah, there is this one thing though. And you say, really? That's right about the time when I think I got everything figured out. The Lord shows me like 8 things. And I'm like, really? Wow. Yeah, I should have saw that coming. Because he did that last time. Should have saw that coming. But boy, he sure is faithful to us. So praise the Lord for that. We'll run some references there on the knowledge of God and increasing that knowledge and what he does for us to please him. But let's go ahead and take some prayer requests this evening.